Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Subpar host of the show. I promise to perform accordingly.
And I'm sure you won't let us down.
Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me, superlative co-host. He's on the executive board of the State Mayors Association. He's a veteran, former Pennsylvania Emergency Communications Committee member.
Chairman.
Oh.
If you're going to get it right, get it right.
Oh, yeah. Former chair. Jeez. How could I cross that out?
I don't know. How did you manage that?
That was wrong. CSVT Task Force Chair, your CSVT work is blocking traffic overnight on Route 147.
We aim to please.
He is the mayor of Shamokin Dam, and that's current. That's real. He is really the mayor. How much longer are you going to be mayor?
Well, at least 2 more years.
Okay. You going to run after that?
I don't know. Ask me in 2 years.
I don't think I'm going to. He's the Pennsylvania Bar Association Judicial Review Committee, so he brings his ultra-conservative viewpoints, but natural-born listener to the table talking about that.
And, of course, as you know from our caller Dale, they're just out to destroy civilization.
Well, he's right. 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free line. Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Let's take the emails.
Yes, one of our emailers sends us a list. We were talking yesterday about nude beaches.
I asked if there are any nude beaches in the U.S., and of course the answer would have to be yes in this country.
My favorite is Hippie Hollow Beach in Austin, Texas. Then there's Rooster Rock Beach in Oregon, Little Beach in Maui, Hawaii, Haulover Beach in Bal Harbour, Florida, and Baker Beach in San Francisco, California. San Francisco, namely the most liberal city in America, showcases pasty white behinds at Baker Beach.
All right.
And the one closest to home, in case you're interested, is Gunnison Beach in New Jersey. And in looking that up on the map, it appears that if you went to the southern end of Staten Island and got a pair of binoculars, no, the Bronx. If you went to the southern end of the Bronx, got a pair of binoculars and looked across the bay, you might be able to see it.
Oh.
It's on a very narrow tip of land near Middletown, New Jersey.
Oh, okay. That's strange. And clothing optional, huh?
Well, I don't know. That's what it says, the top nude beaches in America.
Okay.
If they're the top, wonder what the bottom nude beaches in America might
be. The worst ones.
Right.
These are the top. Well, the bottom would probably be just little private places here and there where it's privately owned. People own beach, so, you know, you could declare that this section is nude, I suppose. Clothing
well,
optional.
In any event. You know, apparently at that place, we talked yesterday about that a New York artist who's organized a nipple protest over Instagram and Facebook's not allowing nipples to be posted on.
Well, women's
website.
Nipples. Men's can be
men can
be shirtless.
Sure. What's the difference?
There isn't any, really, except women have mammary glands that are visible from the exterior, and so...
Well, that's a very genteel way of putting
well,
it.
Well, thank you. I'm just trying to say this
very
is
discreet of you.
Anatomical phenomenon that women have, and it's nothing to be ashamed of.
Well, I didn't say it was.
It's not like they have these, you know, giant man-eating appendages that you must keep those covered because men will die. You know, I think most of what the prohibition about women being uncovered is because how men allow themselves to behave nowadays since the prohibition has happened.
Oh, so it's all our fault, eh?
Well, I think it is. You know, what is our you know, what is our reaction to seeing nudity? Well, we're offended. We have to cover that woman up. Well, is it the woman's...
Are you sure that was the reaction?
Yeah.
Maybe the woman decided to cover up because of the lecherous men staring at her.
Well, I don't know.
Is that a possibility?
It is a possibility. You know, which came first, the lecherous male or the woman enjoying perfectly normal freedom? So... All right, so that covers, so to speak, the nude topic.
Yeah, that kind of makes the program a bit risque to start off this morning. In any event, that's our unfinished business from yesterday. The big story, I think, today is the fact, and it's so close to home, and I'm intimately familiar with it since I'm a product of the Harrisburg Public Schools. Not so proud of that in this day and age, but they are now being, the state is trying to take them over, put them into receivership. I don't know whether you've been following that story. I have, I guess, because I have a more than passing interest in it. But in this morning's Penn Live, Christine Vendel wrote a very comprehensive story about the city or the state's effort to take over the Harrisburg Public Schools. I mean, they did things like they hired an attorney, an in-house attorney. Now, bear in mind, they have been operating under a recovery plan, and they have been hiding stuff from the recovery agent. They are unresponsive when they're asked questions. The state wanted to do a complete audit because they were wound up paying teachers incorrect salaries. They continue to pay health care for teachers who had left the district. I mean, their business administrator has absolutely no credentials for the job, apparently, and they've gone through quite a few people down there. Then they decided to hire an in-house legal counsel, for which it wasn't done properly, according to Christine Bendel's story this morning.
You have to do an RFP, I guess, or something?
It has to be a recommendation from the superintendent, and then it has to be acted on by the school board. But they hired a guy named Ellison who had been accused of and apparently found somewhat wanting in his representation of a school district outside of Philadelphia, where he was actually cited for giving them bad advice and billing them for the same amount of hours whether he did anything or not. And they hired him without any competitive process to speak of.
Okay, so in terms of the education the kids receive, I mean, you name things that kind of
forget
bubble.
Forget that. It's gone downhill. I mean, the graduation rate in Harrisburg is absolutely pathetic. You know, yet they have a wonderful prom, and the kids dress up in $1,000 costumes to go to that, but they don't graduate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a disgrace. Our capital city and the school district there has just crumbled. The tragic thing is, I mean, just the waste and squandering of a beautiful facility. The school I went to, William Penn High School in uptown Harrisburg, has been left to completely deteriorate. For our class reunion, our 55th class reunion, they got permission for us to be, for the doors to be unlocked so we could wander through the building and look at it. And it was depressing.
You were there 40 years ago in school.
Well, I was there, I graduated in 1961.
Okay.
Back then, the Harrisburg Public Schools were very good. I mean, the people that were there, yes, it's been a while since I graduated.
80 years ago.
Not 80 years ago. But, you know, the library, the books were still on the shelves, and some of them had been thrown on the floor. There was graffiti on the wall. This is a building, yes, admittedly, trying to mitigate the asbestos would be expensive, but a school district that had its priorities straight would have made allowances over the years to take care of this financially.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize there's been a flight to the suburbs in Harrisburg that have cost them created a tax base problem for them. But, you know, I will say, and I'm not going to blame the Democratic Party because I think that's unfair, but there hasn't been a Republican on the Harrisburg School Board in a lot of years, and I think that shows in the lack of fiscal responsibility that some of the school board members have.
Oh, brother. Oh, my God. Republicans are incapable of fiscal irresponsibility.
No, but they are more in terms of borrow and spend rather than tax and spend.
Right. It's okay. It's a Democrat. If we could just get a Republican to move to Harrisburg.
Well, I mean, you can't blame. Whatever. Let me just put it this way. I'll say it this way. You can't blame the Republicans for this.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Would you agree with that?
You'd be hard-pressed to find how politics influence a school board, but in any event, we'll just let that go. I mean, it's too ridiculous to even address.
Well, I beg your pardon.
1-800-795.
You're calling me ridiculous? You want a piece of me?
You think Republicans could save Harrisburg School District and Democrats can't?
I think Republicans are traditionally, not all Republicans, but Republicans traditionally are more fiscally conservative and they adhere to principles that are sounder when it comes to economy or economic issues.
Oh, so what's wrong with Lion Mountain then?
Not a thing.
Oh, yeah. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Oops, I messed that up. Cindy, are you there?
I am.
All right, we got a call coming in.
You're trying to get rid of me already.
I put
just
him,
because of
he
my
figured
byline.
It out. Yeah. Rob figured it out. I'm pushing all the buttons randomly here. Go ahead. You're on the mark.
That works too, I'm sure.
That's
well,
because
I'm
he's a Democrat.
I'm calling today regarding the Free the Nipple issue. And my concern is this. I just read this morning online that the state now wants to regulate breast milk. I mean, Can you just
how are you
going
to regulate that? Are you
what
are
we to, like, report to a center where they take a sample? I mean, this has just gotten totally out of hand. And I'll tell you what will come of them regulating breast milk. At this point, a mother who cannot produce enough breast milk or who becomes sick or injured and can't do it, other mothers step in to help. So the state wants to interfere in this and regulate breast milk. And what will come of this? Breast milk will become prohibitively expensive.
So if you're a nurse,
I promise you this.
How can it
I
become expensive? How, you know, it's produced by the mother and distributed directly to the infant.
Well, not if you're nursing
well,
yourself, if
this
you're sharing breast milk.
This is going to be just like what happens with blood. People very generously go and they donate the blood. And how much money do they get when they do that, Joe?
You get a good
depends
feeling.
Depends on whether or not you go to a place that actually pays you to do it. And some,
well,
some
you
major
get
cities.
Zero. If you go down to the American Red Cross blood donation drive and you donate blood, if you go to a hospital, you get zero. Fair enough. But by the time that blood is delivered to the patient, it can be $200 and $300. So what happened in the meantime? Well, all these invisible fingers got in there to get their pound of flesh. And that's exactly what's going to happen here. They want to put together a board of professional people to regulate the breast milk. Right there is a gazillion dollars in cost when you establish a board and they have to have a secretary and office space and signage and a flag. And I mean, it just becomes ridiculous what goes on when the state interferes in these kinds of things. Show me the problem. Show me the thousands of infants who have been injured by some other woman's breast milk but their mother's. I mean,
well,
it's just become...
How big of an issue is this? I mean, it doesn't seem to me like
zero
there's a lot of
issue.
People handling, selling female breast milk around the country. It's not like you can go into a store and find a black market.
All right, well, let's talk about
it's
this.
It's actually kind of... It is... People do provide breast milk. Women do provide breast milk. There's an agency in Pittsburgh, I know, because my daughter's out there, who takes donations of breast milk from women and then distributes it to people who need it. And there are hospitals who want breast milk. But the problem is, because it's, of course, touted as more nutritious and better for the infant than formula feeding. But they're going to make this so expensive, why, putting all this regulatory effort behind it, that it's going to kill it, because I don't have to do that. Of course, I'm out of the market now, but I don't have to do this. And if you make it hard on me, then why would I do it? And that's what's going to happen, in my perspective. So
have
rather
cited,
than being
Cindy,
helpful or better, they're actually going to harm it.
You've obviously
right?
studied this issue. Has the state or anyone who's proposing this legislation cited a specific problem inherent in doing this that I'm unaware of or that maybe their audience is unaware of?
No, it's just an untapped
pull out
resource.
The legislation, but of course, I did not read the legislation. I'll confess to that, Joe. There is a legislator who's put forward a bill. I have not read it. Of course, advocates for passing laws that impose these kinds of regulations on people are quite creative in creating a list of problems that, you know. And could there be a problem? Sure. A junkie could sell their breast milk. That's true, without a doubt. And so then is whatever they're doing in the breast milk? Perhaps, probably. And so could that be given to another infant? Sure. There's no doubt about that. I won't question that at all. Is there a handling issue? If the woman who is expressing her milk, not going through protracted sterilization kind of things, is there a risk that the milk could become contaminated so that when she gives it to this other mother, then that contamination could affect the infant? Sure, it could. Just like if you go in a restaurant and the people that are serving you don't wash their hands, you run a risk of getting sick from those people. It's the
All
same
right.
kind of a thing.
All right. Here's the... Thank you so much, Cindy. We really appreciate you checking in. It says, AP says, amid growing demand among mothers and hospitals for breast milk, Pennsylvania is considering regulating milk donation to ban unsafe practices in sharing breast milk. The state house voted 191 to 1 Monday for legislation prohibiting the sale of human milk in Pennsylvania by an entity that isn't licensed by the State Department of Health. The bill goes to the Senate. The legislation sets standards for screening donors and requires licensed milk banks to follow policies and procedures that are set by professional associations or the law. That includes keeping records of donor and milk screening and how the milk was processed and stored, as well as having a medical advisory committee of health personnel who are experienced in neonatology, nutrition, infectious diseases, biologics manufacturing, and blood and tissue banking.
Well, Cindy's right. That's going to certainly drive up the cost of it.
Well, and this is a problem, this is a solution in search of a problem. I think what happened is our House and Senate, which are predominantly male, have found out that they found an untapped resource of revenue. So, of course, there's going to be a lot of money associated with the taxes on this and all this regulation.
I came down on the Democrats on education. I'll come down on the Republicans here for having an absolutely inane piece of legislation.
Right. So they are desperately in search of a real problem behind this legislation.
I mean, if you could point out to the fact that somebody had been harmed or injured, but, you know, years ago you could advertise, and I'm drawing on my historical knowledge, there were ads in the paper, wanted woman with a good breast of milk to suckle a child. I mean, those ads were prevalent. In the newspapers in the late 1800s, 1700s. You know, it was a big thing because I guess some women, they didn't have prepared formulas back then. You had to find
right,
a woman
was
who,
no,
a nurse.
What's the name of the group that of
the Leche League?
Yes, that's it. Right. Thank you. To help women who have trouble lactating or breastfeeding. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. To say that Joe and I are over our head in this topic is an understatement, but we know bad regulation when we see it. So, yeah, we agree with Cindy on this topic that this is a onerous solution in desperately in search of a non-existent problem. 1-800-795-9565. Bobby, we are talking about breast milk. You are on the mark.
Well, I'm going to say, you might say I've changed a few diapers in my time and have fed babies. And, of course, some women cannot produce breast milk. Mm. So to speak, you know, for the baby, you know, versus the, you know, versus formulas and stuff. That's, you know, that's biological more than anything. But one of the reasons I wanted to call was to ask Joe about the curriculum that was offered back when he went to high school in Harrisburg. I mean, and here in Sunbury, before it became Shikellamy, with my older brothers and sisters, all they had was academic and business. Was that pretty much the same in Harrisburg?
Well, it was, but it wasn't. I mean, they had subsets of academic. There was academic college prep. There was a general prep. There was home economics, business, and I forget what else. There was a fifth one. But if you graduated under academic prep, there were two choices. You either graduated scientific or language.
And didn't they have you in the slightly behind group?
When I was in 10th grade, but by the time I got to 12th, I was in next to the top.
Okay.
If you don't mind.
No, that's, I'm
but
stuck.
I know, of course, my way out of the basement. We got into a careers elective, and sports and auto mechanics and things like that were necessarily pushing for careers, but there was education opportunities offered. All right, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, well said. 1-800-795-9565. Harrisburg's in receivership. Harrisburg School District.
No, they're asking them to put them in receivership.
Okay. We have breast milk could soon be regulated by the State House. They not only want to be in women's doctor's office, they want to be in their nursing involvement as well. So the House is getting involved in that, and the Senate will, of course, delve right into that.
Well, here's going back to Harrisburg a minute.
We have to take a break.
Oh, do we have to do that right now?
Well,
all right.
Pretty close. You can have 30 seconds.
Oh, go ahead.
We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. 8:55 in the morning. Joe has more to say about breast milk or Harrisburg School District.
No, Harrisburg School District. And going back to this hiring of James Ellison to fill the newly created position of in-house solicitor, says under district policy, professional positions created by the board must be preceded by a recommendation from the superintendent and must be accompanied by a job description clearly stating the duties for which the position was created, supporting data, and other rationale relevant to the recommendation. Despite repeated inquiries by the district's state-appointed chief recovery officer, the district has not provided her with information regarding the in-house legal position nor the terms of Ellison's employment, including the job description and compensation. The petition said, adding that the recovery plan did not contemplate the hiring of an in-house solicitor. Again, this is Christine Bendel's story in Penn Live this morning about Harrisburg School District. Additionally, school board members approved rehiring Superintendent Sybil Knight Burnley for another term in July of 2018, but still haven't approved a contract outlining her pay or the terms of employment nearly a year later. Section 1073 of the school code prohibits anyone from being employed as superintendent except pursuant to a written contract of employment expressly stating the terms and conditions of employment. The position said neither the CRO, the chief recovery officer, or the community are privy to the terms or conditions of Dr. Knight Burnley's employment with the district. I mean, it's just a train wreck down there.
Well, does she get a paycheck?
Yes.
So somebody somewhere along the line told the business manager, okay, when paychecks come out, give X salary to the superintendent, and so that money's going out, but there's no documentation as to where that number came from?
Well, they asked the people a petition. A strong culture of personal responsibility and customer service orientation has not been established in the central office, the contractor wrote in a report. The report included a sampling of comments from current school employees, including, there is mistrust among administrators. This has been the worst it has ever been. It's really a bad situation. There's a culture of fear and intimidation and retaliation. People are worried that they are next. How can one trust administrators with the agenda of conquer and divide? I have been under the assumption that you are helped based on your friendship with the administration. Other employees noted a high rate of nepotism and an us-versus-them culture set by the central administration. At the high school, the district was supposed to raise proficiency rates for algebra, literature, biology to 41.2%, 48.1%, and 34.9%, respectively. Instead, the scores...
What a benchmark.
Yeah, which is below normal.
Oh,
instead,
my gosh,
the scores were 7.1%, 9.3%, and 13.6%, respectively.
Why can't you just take all of those schools, or all of those kids... and ship them to a thriving school district, bus them someplace else?
Well, that just puts a tax burden on the other municipality.
Well, send some money with them.
I think you have to, you know, you have to get your own school district, your own house in order, don't
what?
You think?
I wouldn't think so. I think this would be a great target or a sample agency, a sample opportunity to test case. There we go. To close the schools, ship the kids to the nearest school, let them pick which school district they want to go to. I'm sure, Mechanicsburg's probably academically superior.
Cumberland Valley.
Right, okay, so there you go. So you got some thriving school districts locally. Ship them there with an envelope full of money that says, you know, this is the tax dollars that we don't need in Harrisburg. You can have this. Sell or shut down the schools. I mean, sell them to private businesses. businesses and whatever is needed down there and go from there.
Well, they also, you know, there have been financial improprieties, at least on the surface down there.
In Harrisburg.
And the chief recovery officer in the state wanted to go access to their computer system to do a complete audit. Mm-hmm. I guess that was Eugene DePasquale's department. And they refused to give it to them.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, they said, well, we have to safeguard the teachers' personal information, their Social Security numbers and such.
Oh, my gosh.
And the teachers' union said, no, we're not worried about that. Go ahead and give them the information. They still didn't do it until the state said they were going to withhold $10.5 million in funding. And then all of a sudden, they became more realistic. But they still haven't completely complied. Now, something's obviously going on down there, and it's a shame for the kids in that school district to be victims. They're really victims of the educational process in Harrisburg. And it is our capital city, and it's really a crying shame.
Well, maybe they should start over, you know, close down the school, ship everybody out for a couple of years, renovate the school that you spoke of if it's necessary, or sell it and, you know, let private industry renovate it.
In their defense, they have tried to sell it, but, you know, they started out unrealistically high and then haven't found a taker.
You need a gentrification of Harrisburg.
Well, this is a sad case. I mean, the kids are the victims here.
Mm-hmm.
The kids are the victims.
Yeah, imagine if you're born in Harrisburg, you're born with a huge burden.
And you want to get out.
We're going to talk about this a little bit more during the 9 a.m. hour. This is WDKOK Sunbury, 9 o'clock.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. It is the fourth day of June 2019. I am Mark Lawrence. Rob Center is our fabulous producer. Matt Cotrillo is over in the newsroom. Joe's here. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury
Motor. That's all I get. Joe's here.
What, do you want me to get the resume out again?
No, I just thought, you know, I might be included with the rest of the stuff you mentioned. But that's all right. You can go right ahead.
When Joe started here, he gave me a trifold brochure that's full of all of his accolades and awards and committees.
Oh, and I forgot to mention, I know why you're being this snitty with me today.
What?
That's because I didn't mention this month, yet it's June the 4th, and I didn't mention that you were strikingly handsome.
Oh,
as required by my contract.
Well, you have time. You had the whole month.
I just did. Mark, you are strikingly handsome today.
Well, thank you. Joe's doing a fabulous job, as always.
Nice to me again, right?
We really appreciate it. Yeah, I guess I forget how starved for attention I am. I think I don't need it, but then when somebody doesn't compliment me, I'm sorry, I
forgot to fulfill my contractual obligations to you this morning.
No problem. It's all good. On the Mark, now happily sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or call our toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, you can sign up at WKOK.com. It's under the Connect With Us page on our homepage, and you can pull that down there, and you can sign up for emails if you'd like. You can sign up for Text Connect. Text Connect is breaking local news or national news sent to your cell phone or pager. Just a few words, and then a link that sends you to WKOK.com. We would send you breaking news about closed roads, tornadic weather warnings, or opportunities for you to avoid blocked areas or restricted roads, and breaking national news, dead celebrities, or other opportunities to keep you informed. And that's what Text Connect is all about. We don't get anything from it other than a good feeling for having helped our audience know that there's news out there. New Valley U.S. Congressman Fred Keller was officially sworn in yesterday. First, he thanked his family, then...
Also would like to thank the outstanding folks of Pennsylvania's 12th Congressional District who have placed the privilege of representing them in me here in Congress. I also look forward to working with all members of the United States House of Representatives under Speaker Pelosi's leadership. Also look forward to working with the United States Senate and our president to positively impact the lives of all Americans.
And we thank C-SPAN for covering that last night. It was around 7 p.m. Eastern on the C-SPAN network, so folks got to see that. We have all of the audio posted at WKOK.com. You can hear Nancy Pelosi administering the oath of office and then Fred accepting. Big round of applause. G.T. Thompson and Congressman Doyle from Western Pennsylvania, Mike Doyle, I think it is, from Western Pennsylvania, making some remarks about Fred Keller, saying that he's from Creamer, P.A.
And, Creamer?
Yes. And
they know him well.
Right. And let's see who, I guess that's it, but talked about, I believe, his granddaughter, Gracie, if I have the name right, held the Bible for him in the ceremony. And Freddie Keller was there and his bride, and Mrs. Keller was there. Kay? Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
I think her name is okay. So, yeah, big thing on TV last night, watching C-SPAN. In other news, former Northumberland County Prothonotary Justin Dunkelberger has struck a deal with prosecutors from the state attorney general's office. Instead of facing any jail time for the felony charges, he pleads guilty to a misdemeanor count of fraud, pays back the $30,000 in Northumberland County money. He gets a probation, a $300 fine, and must do some community service for stealing $30,000 from Northumberland County. Democratic lawmaker, nope, scratch that. How about this? The Pennsylvania, yeah, this is the AP version of the Harrisburg story. Pennsylvania's Department of Education is asking a judge to put the Harrisburg School District into receivership. Secretary of Education Pedro Rivera filed papers Monday seeking the order in Dauphin County Court. Rivera is also asking that the court appoint Janet Samuels as receiver. Samuels, the former superintendent of Norristown School District, is currently the state's chief recovery officer in Harrisburg schools. The receiver takes operational control of the district and assumes all of the powers and duties of the school board, except the power to impose and raise taxes. Harrisburg schools have been in financial recovery since December of 2012. Two other school districts, Duquesne City and Chester Upland, are currently in receivership. The court has 7 days to hold a hearing and then 10 days to consider an initial three-year receivership.
What's interesting is that the voters in Harrisburg have upended the school board, and they voted out a lot of incumbents in the primary, and there will be a new look to the school board come the fall, because winning the Democratic nomination is tantamount to being elected in Harrisburg. But what would happen, and the good thing here, is that if it goes into receivership, it can probably be accomplished before the next school board meeting, and the current school board has a chance to do more damage.
Mm.
Or enter into new contracts or formalize some of the stuff that they haven't done, and then the administrator would be, or the recovery agent would be stuck with it.
Well, can't a judge, can't they get an injunction or something?
Oh, that might be the next step, but, you know, you can't take away from the elected school board if they are not in receivership. You can't take away their rights or their privileges.
Okay. All right, well, to be continued. Keep us posted about this fascinating story about how individuals, a bunch of Democrats, let a school go to pot.
Well, I call your attention to today's article, and it's not at all political. That was just my personal take by Christine Vendel in Penn Live this morning, and it's called The State Wants to Take Over Harrisburg Schools.
All right. One other note today. I know Joe doesn't like boycotts in order to solve social issues. It's a financial solution to a social issue. President Donald Trump thinks he has a way to get CNN off his case, and he's asking for your help. If you're a customer of AT&T, in a tweet yesterday, Trump called for people to use AT&T wireless service to dump the carrier and hook up with another company. In his tweet, Trump suggests a boycott will put pressure on AT&T to make changes at the cable news outlet he often derides as fake news. Trump seemed triggered to go on CNN after his arrival in London for a state visit. He says he watched CNN for a little while after he got there yesterday and turned it off because the coverage was all negative. So CNN and AT&T, AT&T owns CNN, I guess?
I wasn't aware of that, but I guess they picked it up somewhere along the line.
Yeah,
today's merger world, it's hard to keep track.
We're missing a sentence here, but we'll have to assume that AT&T owns CNN. Or vice versa, I guess, right? Well, no, well, AT&T would be bigger.
I still say President Trump's biggest problem is his skin is so thin that I'm surprised you can't see all these veins and arteries coursing through there. Well, at some point, you just let it roll off your back.
Right. Well, and I think if you'd, honestly, if it's a state visit and CNN found a negative pitch, I don't know what it would be. Although I noticed that yesterday there, since there's no actual talks or, you know, progress to come from it, it is a, it's ripe for them to keep harping on the feud between the mayor and Trump, the mayor of London and Trump. And the nasty comment that the president said, which was just an incidental remark in passing, hardly a significant diss by Trump standards.
What did he say?
Oh, he said Meghan Markle was
nasty. But he wasn't referring to her, he says. He was referring to the remark she made about leaving the country if he was elected.
Right. As though like that. We finally got him. Trump said Meghan Markle is nasty. And, of course, she's much beloved.
We had quite a few people who said if Donald Trump was elected, they're leaving the country. Yet they're still here. When are their plans, their travel plans, going to be put in place?
I think that those weren't empty threats, that those were just trying to make emphasis. Like when the president called her nasty, he didn't say the statement was nasty. He said she was nasty,
so
to be clear.
So therefore, we take him at his word. We take what he said seriously with no room for wiggle. But
no,
the people
I don't
said
think
they're going to leave the country. We give them a pass.
I think when the president said she was nasty, he was referring to the fact that she was saying a nasty remark, but he did say she was nasty. But in any event, it was one sentence in a 20-minute interview, and it's so typical of him, I'm surprised that it makes any sense.
It's so typical of the media to pick that out of a long interview.
Oh, last night they were all over it. Like, what are we going to do about Meghan Markle, and she's on maternity leave.
And then there are people apologizing for him over there. I saw some woman, I don't know who it was, I gather she must be famous. I didn't recognize her, saying, I'd like to say a word to the English people. I apologize for sending our president over there.
Oh, the other apology
tour. And, of course, they have the big baby that looks like Trump with a inflatable baby with a diaper on it.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's legitimate protest. I see nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, there were some clever signs.
I'm sure if Trump were allowed outside with a knife, he would cut a hole in that balloon. But, I think it's just you let it roll off your back.
Well, and the president was really welcomed by the royal family, and they had a big dinner. C-SPAN showed that last night, too. And
sumptuous.
I wouldn't have seen it except for the fact that C-SPAN just kind of ran it continuously.
Nobody does pomp and circumstance better than the British.
Oh, yeah. Boy, they did it with the full uniform and the bearskin hats.
Shakos or whatever they call them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I forget the name of them. Well, see, the CNN coverage didn't have commentary, so you were just left to watch it, which was wonderful. They were doing a good job. I was watching the CNN or the C-SPAN coverage and then listening to the baseball game.
Well, that's quite a mixed bag.
Well, I'm an American. Well, this is what we do.
So. Well, I think there might be a deal to be made there. He'd like to come up with a trade deal with England that would help ease them out of the European Common Union or Common Market.
Well, and he's there to go to Normandy on Thursday. Let's just get on with it. Why does he have to spend 3 days in London? That seems ridiculous.
It's a state visit.
So what? What's he going to do? He doesn't have anything to do there. We're not negotiating anything.
But we are trying to negotiate a trade deal with them.
With England?
Right. He'd like to come up with some kind of deal that helped make their exit from the common market or the European Union a little easier.
Well, he doesn't negotiate them anyway, and he's not doing that there. This is all tours and visits and handshaking and everything else.
Well, that's part of what we do in the diplomatic world.
All right. Fine. Go visit London all you want. We have open phones. We're going to take a quickie break, but we'll take all comers. 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free line. That's 1-800-795-9565. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. They are a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 to 15, Hummelsworth. Find out tons more about them at Hummelsworth, at sunburymotors.com. You can go to Hummelsworth, visit the Kia dealership, and see Kai retired, but Austin and Ernie are over there, and they would just love to do business with you. And boy, they got some very nice vehicles there, and they would just love to talk to you. Or you can do as I've done. Go to sunburymotors.com, say, I want a Ford Raptor Ranger to have the following items, which would include the 8-foot bed and double rows of seats and the sunroof and the power rear window and a bunch of other accoutrements and the off-road package. And it's going to cost 40-some, so, you know, it's a higher price than the old Ford Rangers used to be, but it's a much, much beefier, and it's a much, much better car, and they would just love to do business with you in that way. Order it up, and they'll have it ready for you ASAP at the Sunbury Motor Company. They also got Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. We will be right back. We've talked about Harrisburg schools in receivership. We talked about the state's hapless effort to regulate breast milk. If you're a nursing mother, your state legislator wants to monitor your activities.
So, and do you know what today is in history?
What happened Decoration
today
Day.
What happened today in 1919? I'll tell you. The U.S. Congress approved the 19th Amendment. What did that do?
Prohibition.
No.
Darn.
Women's suffrage.
Oh, no kidding.
Women got the right to vote in 1919 on this
date. We should do an amendment of the day here to get people like me to remember all these numbers and so on. So women got the vote, eh?
In 1919.
All right. And they have been...
Signed by the president at the time, who was...
1919? Oh, see.
Oh, you're failing history. Okay. Woodrow Wilson.
Well, I would have gotten that. It's World War One era. So I would have gotten it, given enough time. I would have guessed a few others, but we'd have gotten it. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back.
That's how I remember what the 19th Amendment is, Schoolhouse Rock.
Wow, that is great. I wish my hearing is shot so I don't hear the lyrics, but I know it talks about the important things that women have done. Susan B. Anthony and the suffragettes and the important women in New York. What New York State? Where did this movement start or was centered in New York State, upstate New York? Not Ithaca.
Well, Elizabeth Cady Stanton.
From?
New York.
Where?
I forget the name of the town.
Yeah,
Schenectady or somewhere like that.
Right, up in that region. All right. We'll take all comers if people know the answer to the trivia question. 1-800-795-9565. Cindy, you are on the mark. Thank you so much for calling back. Go right ahead.
Unfortunately, I don't know the answer to the trivia question, but, Joe, I thought we actually got the right to vote in August after the amendment was approved by the requisite number of states. Isn't it 3/4 of the states?
It was approved on this day in 1919. The last state ratified it.
And then it takes effect. That's the end of that.
Right.
Okay. Well, great. Then, hooray for us. I called, first of all, to agree with Joe that what's going on in the Harrisburg School District is totally unacceptable. It's gone on for decades. And the state has made every effort to intervene positively, sending in consultants, giving them millions upon millions more than they give other school districts, but the internal mechanisms have resisted change at every turn. And that's where the problem lies. Now, Mark, we actually do have a law that allows the children to escape this failing school district. It was a part of, as I recall, No Child Left Behind. And it said that if your school is a failure, you can appeal to go to another school. And Pennsylvania reinforced this. If you were captured, if you were held hostage, essentially, in a failing school district, you could appeal to go to a neighboring school district. And your state money went with you. And that was open to the children of the Harrisburg School District. But forces who be kept this pretty much on the down low. They didn't want these children to know that they could escape this mediocrity and debacle and go someplace else. And the second rub was that did the other school district want to take them? And there was yet another resistance there. This actually happened in the Duquesne City School District, which is in Allegheny County, out by Pittsburgh. And they ended up closing the high school, closing the middle school. And those children had a choice of two neighboring school districts that they were bused to go to school. And it was funded entirely by the state. And the elementary school, despite the fact that it persists in failing, has been allowed to continue to exist.
Well, it's a shame for the kids. You know, they shouldn't have to be bused somewhere out of their district to get a good education. I mean, the Harrisburg Public Schools, I think the state needs to take it over, and they don't need to give it back. I mean, look what happened. The state took over the city, in effect, and now, with proper leadership, the city's turning itself around.
Well, you know, and part of the problem for the school district is that when that Mayor Reed, that criminal, was in charge, he used them to sell bonds, to have the school district take out bonds for other public works that he wanted to do, burdening the school district with the debt.
Yeah, like his Wild West Museum. Like his Wild West Museum.
Well, it wasn't that. It was he founded a university. I forget what it's called, Harrisburg City University, something like that. And it was funded by taking money from the school district. You know, it's just the abuse of the taxing policies and the abuse of public institutions, like what's going on in Harrisburg with the water authority and that burning cinders, that
the incinerator.
Incinerator, yep.
Oh, yeah, what's wrong with Harrisburg?
They are like card-carrying, how badly can you be governed debacle. It's sinful.
And the state legislature's right there. You know, you think they could help in some way, or you think some way that would actually have an impact. I know they have helped. You can yell out the window of the Harrisburg schools, and they can hear you at the State Department of Education. But it doesn't help having, you know, all the eggheads so close.
Well, the problem, it lies in local control. So the state has spent hundreds of millions of dollars in an effort to intervene in that school district. They've sent in consultants. They've paid for trainings. They've given them, under No Child Left Behind, they got tens of millions more dollars than they already had. And what happened? They did not make the changes that were necessary to improve the instruction because, as Joe pointed out, they are seriously infested with issues of nepotism and, you know, I can't
everything
understand
else.
How the superintendent's contract can be withheld because that's public document.
We're not supposed to talk about that.
That's a public document.
Yep.
Right. All right. Thank you so much, Cindy.
Reinforces the problem.
If they had one, if they had a contract with her, it should be public knowledge.
No, they don't have one. All right. 1-800-795-9565. We're wrapping up our discussion about the Harrisburg schools. I heard the mayor of Chicago say something funny in the national news, saying that there were only 11 deaths. So that wasn't a record.
Actually, 8 of them were fatal over the weekend.
Right, and that was not a record. So he said, and there were only 8 deaths.
So Chicago's police chief on Monday decried a, quote, despicable level of violence during a weekend in which 52 people in the city were shot, 8 of them fatally, and 2 people were stabbed to death. Police believe most of the shootings were gang-related, Superintendent Eddie Johnson said. The shootings happened from 6 p.m. Friday until midnight Sunday on one of the warmest and sunniest weekends of the year in Chicago. The city often sees an increase in violence in warmer weather. Johnson said the department increased the number of uniformed officers on the street. He said he believes that effort helped police seize 92 illegal firearms, nearly twice as many as the department seizes in a typical warm weather weekend. Homicides in Chicago surged to more than 770 3 years ago, but have dropped since to 660 in 2017 and 561 last year. Johnson reiterated his complaints about what he said are lax gun laws and court policies that he said turned the county jail into a revolving door for gun offenders. Until we stop giving gun offenders the sense that they can do this with impunity, then we are going to continue to have these press conferences. So here's a city
with this gun bans, you're not allowed to have guns.
We have tough gun laws, but apparently once the criminals get into the system, the judges, you know, are apparently, according to the police chief, Chief Johnson, or Superintendent Johnson, that the courts are just letting them out the door as part, I guess, of the, you know, and again, this is a city that has been democratically controlled forevermore.
Oh, here we go. We're back to that.
Well, what do you attribute the problem to? I think if there
I think society, unfortunately, urban areas decay doesn't necessarily have anything to do with Democrats. But if you can show me how...
Let me finish what I was going to say. I think part of the problem here is that I like the county commissioner form of government in Pennsylvania because it assures minority representation. In elected offices for like council or mayor or something like that, there is no such provision. So one party can get into power and dominate and dominate and dominate without any fear of any oversight or anybody else being in a position to look at the situation and say, hey, the emperor is naked.
Well, the county commissioner system doesn't require that the minority party have any impact or influence.
No, but there's somebody there. There's somebody elected, somebody who has access to all the records, all the information.
Right. Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything. They still don't get invited to all the meetings and so on.
Well, they can certainly attend all the meetings if they can find out about
them. If somebody sneaks them the information.
But we have a system here that I think when any one political party gets complete control of the mechanisms of government for an extended period of time without any oversight on the part of the other party, it's not a good situation.
Well, that's why we need the Electoral College, correct? So that Republicans get a foothold, even though they don't have the numbers to support it demographically.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
Well, would we not have all Democratic presidents because of New York and California?
Well, if you mean on popular vote, maybe we would. I don't know. Probably we
would. Yeah, we would. There'd be no Republican presidents.
Well, that's not a good thing either.
No. No, I think. I mean, look at the good that some presidents did. You're standing up before I even say his name.
Ronald Reagan and Abraham Lincoln come to mind.
Right. So, anyway, we have open phones, 1-800-795-9565. Chicago has strict gun laws, yet it's the most violent city in the U.S. What's your view on that? 1-800-795-9565. Stan, you're on the mark. We could not have summoned you any faster if we had dialed you up.
Isn't it wonderful, the success they're having with severe gun control in Chicago? I mean, it just every day, it's just a beacon of light of the success they're having from the gun control.
It's a safer
city.
You
know, nobody can have guns and cause violence in Chicago. It's awesome.
Well, it's not working real well for them, that's for sure.
Right. There's a lack of Republican control.
Yeah, the whole state of Illinois. I mean, they have their firearms owner identification card, so they got to get permission from the local cops to even purchase a firearm. And you know that the guys doing all the killing out there ain't going to the local gun shop and buying a gun. So what's the problem? I know they blame it on Indiana. You know, they're importing guns from Indiana to go across the state line and buy all these handguns. But, that's against the law, too. So what's the answer?
Well, you know,
with Chicago,
if it is gang-related, you know, there's probably some issues that could be addressed in that regard. But you're right. I mean, this is a classic example of if you take away the guns from honest citizens, the only people who have them left are criminals. And
well,
that's what you've got
and
here.
If they're getting into the system and the judges and the prosecutors are not prosecuting to the fullest extent and letting them walk, well, there's another problem, because there are laws against it. There are some pretty severe penalties for using firearms in crime. And the last time I checked, murder in all 50 states is illegal. It doesn't have to be a federal law. It's state law. It's a human law. Murder is illegal.
Right, okay. So what would help in Chicago? I mean, you think, well, some of the individuals are resorting to drugs, drug trafficking. That's a factor in gun crimes. Do we need more good jobs?
That.
Right, okay. Well, I'm just saying, what would fix the city, not the gun issue?
Enforce the laws that are there. Get these guys off the street, keep them off the street, and make sure that the ones that are out there trying to commit, you know, the crimes, know that when they get arrested and caught with a gun, the penalty is going to be severe. They're going to spend a lot of time in jail.
All right.
But it doesn't happen. I know they'll say, well, there isn't enough beds in jail to house all these people. All right. When they catch a guy shooting somebody and they've actually seen the shooting, shoot him. Put him out of misery and save the taxpayers a pile of money. I know. We can't do that because that's against their civil rights. But yet the city of Chicago wants to violate every law-abiding citizen's civil rights. So where's the answer?
Well, I wonder what would happen if those 52 people, you know, how many of them were innocent victims who were shot, and how many of them were other gang members or other criminals that were killed in a dispute over either turf or drugs or something like that.
There's probably both.
If they were 52 innocent people, I would be thinking that the city of Chicago would be under siege by everybody who was afraid to take a step out of their front door.
You would think, but I know Mark doesn't like to blame the Democrat Party, but there hasn't been a Republican seen in Chicago in official capacity in how many years?
Quite a few.
Decades?
Maybe.
Decades, I believe it was. Is. Yeah. So who else is to lay the blame at?
It's the Democrats. It's the Democrats. All right, it's the Democrats.
I mean, it's their policies, whatever they put into place.
Right.
They have the right. They enacted the laws. They created the legislation for their municipality. They have to take some of the blame.
They're responsible for that part. Now, the shooter is fully responsible for his actions, and they need to be taken off the street and put away for a long time. There's federal laws against it, and there's state laws against it. Maybe they should charge him with both. And once they're done with the state time, send them to a federal pen and let them sit there and rot for a while.
Well, it said that they seized 92 illegal firearms over the weekend. My question is, what happened to the 92 people who were in possession of those firearms, and what are the penalty they're going to face?
Well, maybe it was one individual had 92 guns.
Not likely. They probably walked.
All right, thank you.
Or they left them go. You gave them, left them out on bail. That's generally what they do, to let them out on bail. Please come back, and we'll prosecute you then.
So we can arrest you again.
All right. Bear in mind, Stan, the bail is not meant to be a punishment, just a guarantee that you will appear for court.
Yeah, we do that with the illegals down the border, too, and we see how that goes. So.
Well, don't blame me. I didn't create the system.
All right, have a great
day. Take care.
Thank you. Appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free line. It is now open. You can call us, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about Chicago's violence in schools in Harrisburg and even breast milk and nude beaches. We got it all going on today. We'll take your view. 1-800-795-9565. What would fix Chicago? Do we need more jobs in Chicago? And do we need some urban renewal? Or do we need to bus everybody out of Chicago so they can make a better life elsewhere with less violence? What has to happen to fix it?
I don't think they take the violence with them, huh?
Well, if you know, is it the person that's instilled in violence because they're in a cycle of poverty in a city that has a high crime? If you take them out of that element, you think they'll be a violent person in an otherwise calm neighborhood? I wouldn't think so, but it's possible. 1-800-795-9565 is our phone number. Help us fix Chicago and Harrisburg.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, we're talking about Chicago. Joe, why don't you read that email, and then we'll take our first caller.
All right, Dave on the Hill says, Democrats have run all these wonderful cities for decades. Baltimore, Detroit, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Portland. Which one would you like to move to, Mark? You can go to the bathroom in the street, sleep in the street, in any one of these cities.
All right. Let's see. Paul, we are talking about Chicago. What's your thought on the Windy City and what could help fix there? And don't say get some Republicans in office. Joe's already said that.
Okay. You are familiar with the word omniscience, correct?
Omniscience or omniscience, if that's what you're talking about.
And how about omnipresence?
What's your point, Paul?
My point is this. If God created man and he created the tree of knowledge, giving man the power of right and wrong, where did he go wrong in God's creation of man?
That's a good question. We will ponder that and call you back. All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Talking about violence in Chicago and gun controls, a factor in there. Go right ahead, Jim. You're on the mark.
Good morning, Mark and Joe. Mark, If I lived in Chicago, I wouldn't have a firearm. I'd have a high-capacity air gun. And a lot of those air guns can put out about 1,200 to 1,500 feet a second.
What are they putting out? Like a pellet?
Almost the same thing as a firearm.
Shooting a pellet or a BB or
like shoots like a lead or a lead copperized pellet.
Okay.
Are they legal?
1,500 feet a second.
Jim, are they legal in Chicago?
I really don't know. Okay. But you don't need a gun permit for them. You can buy them at Geyser's. You could buy them at Long Shot. And maybe Stan could answer that question. And you don't have to get a gun permit for it.
Okay. But all right.
How would it serve to defend you, or what benefit would it be for you as a citizen?
Well, you could carry the gun, and it's not a firearm.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't use powder to make it.
But on the other hand, I mean, as a citizen, you would rather have a firearm, a legitimate firearm, to defend yourself. I mean, I would think wouldn't you think, Jim, that the people of Chicago, running Chicago, would look at this and say, hey, we have all these tough gun laws, and still the guns are running all over our streets, and all we're really doing is keeping private citizens from defending themselves. Maybe we should take some of these restrictions away.
I don't know how to answer it, Joe, because, like you say, Chicago's on Fox, it's on CNN, it's on MSNBC, and that a lot with the gun violence, and I don't know what you would do in Chicago as far as having a gun.
All right. It sounds like a possible solution. Thank you so much, Jim.
Appreciate the call.
Email again, Joe. We got an email.
MB says, I believe the only thing that would help Chicago is a stop and frisk policy like they did in New York City. With modern small handheld metal detectors, you wouldn't even need to physically touch the person. Right. Now, there's a thought.
Okay.
Give the cops the power to do that.
But New York restricts handguns. You can't walk around New York City with a handgun. I mean, if you have a carry permit, it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to carry one.
Well, I saw a story this morning. I'm sorry I didn't print it out, but it had something to do with whether or not people should be allowed to carry, whether a police department could presume you might commit a crime if you were carrying a weapon. In other words, would that be a prima facie reason to stop you and go into greater detail about why you're walking the street wearing a sidearm?
I don't know.
I would think that might be a start, but then that's taking away legitimate rights people have.
I like to carry openly, that's for sure. 1-800-795-9565. Lance, you're on the mark. We're talking about what's gone wrong in Chicago. Tremendous violence. No handguns are legal there, but kids, there's teens and bad guys have them anyway.
Yeah, that's the way it is. It always seems like, always is, that if someone wants something, they can get it regardless of what it is or where they are. I was in the midst of calling just right before Stan did to say exactly the same thing. And I'd like to add on to that, too, something that was in the Wall Street Journal last week. Big spread on it. In Chicago, the kids that are getting out of jail are being, actually trolled by potential employers because the labor market was so tight, and they're having some real success beyond what they ever thought that they would. It was really quite exciting and quite encouraging, really. Something like 300 young men get out of jail out there every week. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
In Chicago?
Yes.
Okay.
For something. And their success rate has been really quite phenomenal. So it's something to look at. You know, like I said, with a tight labor market, that we can maybe see some kind of a way forward here. But the problem is, you know, with the kids, once they get out of jail for doing one thing, nobody wants to hire them.
Mm.
And that is a big, big problem. And this one guy, you know, he held his nose and jumped into it, and he never expected to get the success that he did. They have, it's like a moving and storage company to start with, and you get some, you know, good, healthy kids. Why, boy, that's just what you need, right? mm-hmm. and the pay was really good, and he can, you know, keep him out of trouble. But I think that's one of the things is we could, should give some of these kids a chance, and maybe they could do it. If you read, you know, Ben Carson's books, that's what he talks about in there, too.
Which book?
Well, if you play the, you know, the first one, Gifted Hands.
Okay.
He'll go right through there, and he basically lays all the things out that are really wrong with the system and how to fix it. And I really believe he is the guy to have for housing and urban development, simply because he knows how to get out of it. Yeah? And he got in trouble for actually saying that we ought to give priority to homeless veterans before anybody else. And oh boy, he was in trouble for that one, too.
Okay. Yeah. All right, noted. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet.
All right, emailers checked in on this topic. One individual says, if I read my local paper correctly, not every person guilty of committing a crime, including a felony, has to serve jail time. I guess you don't have to live in Chicago to avoid jail, says Dick. We're talking about the Justin Dunkelberger case, facing three felonies, pleads guilty to a misdemeanor, avoids jail time, has to do community service and 4 years probation, I think. So.
Sounds right. I was looking this up. Chicago's population is 2.716 million. The city closest to them that I could find was Houston. Well, their population is just about a little less than that, but very similar to Chicago's. And the crime rate or the death rate in there, 279 homicides last year. And Chicago had 561.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference? You know, roughly similar populations.
Well, poverty is a factor. Poverty, cycle of drug abuse.
I suspect there are poor people in Houston, Texas, too, don't you think?
Not at the same rate. Houston's
not every poor person kills people, Mark. I mean, I know a lot of people who are not really affluent.
Do you
affluent.
Understand the demographics of poverty and crime?
Yes, I understand that
don't,
people...
Well, then you wouldn't ask that question.
But that doesn't mean that that's the only option you have. In this country, we have all these programs, all these opportunities for people to pull themselves out. You can't simply pass off and say, oh, well, they just chose a life of crime.
Well, so they have to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, don't they?
That's right.
Okay, amen.
Personal responsibility.
Absolutely, right.
We need to give them the mechanism to pull themselves up.
The trouble is, Joe, is you're not in Chicago to tell these people a few of these people that message, and so subsequently, it's not getting through to them that they have bootstraps. There's no mentor to show them any bootstraps.
But do you think maybe they chose not to do that? I mean, the quick and easy way, let's just say that you have two options as Mark Lawrence. You can borrow and scrimp and save and go to college and get an education, or you can stand on the street corner and sell drugs and get a lot of money real quick.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
some people
mm-hmm.
are not going to choose the harder path.
All right. No argument there.
Well, you would agree with that.
Absolutely.
So no matter how many opportunities you dangle in front of people, some people are going to choose to go the wrong way.
Right.
Probably so what do true. We do about them? Does society owe them anything else?
Nope. They're done. Write them off. Let them kill themselves.
Okay, well, we finally let them kill themselves? No, I wouldn't do that.
Well, they're shooting at each other. They're a bunch of poor black drug dealers from Chicago. Let them shoot at each other on the corner, right?
No, I don't think we want to do
that.
Society has a vested interest in making sure that they don't hit an innocent person while they're doing
that. Oh, please don't kill anybody else. Just your fellow drug dealers.
But there is a theory among police officers from time to time that, you know, well, so what's the problem here? You know, if you have bad guys killing bad guys.
Well, I think that's a human theory. I don't think police own it.
No, well, no, you're right. So, I mean, I might feel that way, or you might feel that way, but that doesn't make it right.
All right, we need Republicans to step forward and set me straight. We're going to let anybody shoot anybody on the street corner they want to, as long as the other person's bad and not good. Call us now, 1-800.
You have a remarkable talent for turning some common inconsequential statement into something despicable.
1-800-7... I only hold up the mirror, okay? 1-800-795-9565. One listener has sent us an email to onthemarket@kok.com.
Okay, we have an email that says, before we try to intercede in towns that do not involve us every day, I think we should fix the problems we have around here. There isn't a week that goes by where mysterious deaths are not in the obituary columns involving our young people. They are no doubt due to the opiate problem in our own backyards. Those towns like Chicago and Harrisburg have their own citizens to try and work out their problems. Why not put our current interests in our own?
Well, let's use Joe's philosophy. If they're young people and they're shooting themselves up, let them go. Let them do it. That's what you're saying about the people in Chicago.
No, that's not what I'm
saying. Let them kill each other.
I'm just saying that there is a school of thought. I disagree with it. I think society has an interest in preserving life and in an interest in putting people on the right path if possible.
Al from Nori, you are on the mark.
I'll say good morning and go right along with Joe. It's like the Wild West. Let the boys fight it out on the street with their guns and hang out in the windows and make sure we get them all.
That is not what Joe said.
That's not what I said.
But anyway.
I'm pretty good at target practice.
Go ahead, anyway.
And if everybody else has a gun, I mean, these soft safe zones, they're just soft targets. Mm-hmm. And when you make a whole city a soft zone, the whole thing's a soft target. If there was other guys walking around on the street that were good law-abiding citizens that knew gun safety and when you're supposed to use your gun, when you're not supposed to use your gun, and just like the old Wild West, you keep it holstered unless you're going to use it.
Yeah, tomorrow I'm going to bring a handgun in unloaded with no ammo, okay? But it'll be in the holster and you can see it. And we'll see if Joe picks on me tomorrow with the empty gun, no shells, okay?
That would deter anybody from even thinking about it. It's like Dirty Harry says.
Well, I said before everybody.
I
said before everybody should be forced to carry. I said before everybody should be forced to carry.
Even it up. I mean, you know, if you even it up, it is statistically or like they do in Texas to this day, you know, it's kind of even. If somebody comes in your store to rob you, you better watch it. I have a shotgun mounted right here, about a little lower than waist level. All I got to do is bump the end of it, you know, and then they'll think twice. And you got to defend yourself too. I mean, you can't depend on the government taking screw it up every time.
Instead of having these hoods shoot it out in the streets, maybe we should go back to the old days where duels were acceptable. You walk up and slap the other guy in the face,
clear everybody out, and then charge admission.
Run that by me again.
We could clear everybody out in a safe distance and charge admission.
Oh, okay. So Friday night duels would be like UFC 29 or whatever it is, except we have duels on TV.
Yeah, like Trump and Biden. Instead of going out behind the school building.
So we won't have elections anymore.
They might as well go. I'll go one step further. We could have them duel it out.
All right. Thank you so much, Al. Thanks for the call.
Yep. Republican and Democratic nominees don't get votes. They just shoot it out on TV.
Stan, you're on the mark.
Yeah, I was the guy called about the air rifles in Chicago. According to what I could find online, most air rifles that would be useful for self-defense, you would have to own a firearms ID card just like a normal firearm. So it's not any easier to get that than it would be anything else.
I think everybody should be required.
And they've got some other laws, too, concerning air rifles.
Well, there goes Jim's idea right out the window.
Do you like my idea? Everybody required to carry all the time?
There you go. Nothing wrong with that. Laws are law abiding.
Thank you so much, Stan. Appreciate the call. See, there's two of us.
Yeah, you're quite a pair.
It's two to a quadrillion. 1-800-795-9565. This is WKOK Sunbury.